Okay, so I'm so glad to have so many of you here this morning. In one way, this church service is devoted to sort of talking about and explaining and then hopefully understanding what's happening in relationship to our church plant. But that's only the very much of the surface level. At the heart of today, our desire is to exalt Jesus Christ as Lord of heaven and earth, and to expand his kingdom throughout the fullness of it. And so I'm trying to take this a moment this morning to put church planting into the context of the Great Commission so that we can really clearly see how God intended the world to be reached for Jesus. And so to help, now after that, I'm going to have all the elders come on stage, and then I've asked Dean to kind of give you a historical rendition of how we got from where we started to where we are today. Then I've asked Josh to come and talk specifically about the church plant and the plans and give you some nuts and bolts related to that. Then a few more elders, as the Lord leads, are going to share what's on their heart in relationship to the church plant. And then if there's time, we're actually going to open the floor to questions. We want concerns. We want fears. We want rejoices. We want whatever the Lord is doing in our hearts. We are absolutely unafraid of what the Lord is going to do with this. And so we want it all out into the light, all out into the open, so that we can love on each other, and hopefully answer each other's questions. So, to start, I would ask you to turn to Matthew 28, 19 and 20. It's some of the most famous scripture in any evangelical church, but it's worth looking at and reading again, because this is Jesus, having risen from the dead, trying to explain to his disciples what he wants to see happen. And so, turn to Matthew chapter 28, and we'll look at 19 and 20. And this is Jesus right before his ascension. Jesus came to them. I'll go ahead and read in verse 18. Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So we clearly see Jesus' longing and desire that the ministry that he began among this small group of men wouldn't just stay among this small group of men, but that it would spread throughout the whole earth. Jesus wanted everyone to know him and follow him as Lord, as one of his disciples. So that's a big overview of what Jesus wanted to see happen. Now, go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 1, and I want you to see another example of him explaining this to his disciples. And this one is a little more formulaic in that he tells the disciples a little bit more of how reaching the world is going to happen. And so in Acts 1:8, Same kind of context, Jesus risen from the dead before his ascension. And here's what he says to them. He says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So here Jesus doesn't just say, make disciples of all the nations. He kind of tells them how it's going to happen. This is going to start in Jerusalem, and it's going to spread throughout Judea and into Samaria. And then from there, it's going to spread throughout the whole earth. So he's kind of given this geographical picture of concentric growing circles of how the church is going to spread. And so I'm going to summarize very briefly Acts chapter 1 through around chapter 8. And so indeed, on the day of Pentecost, all the disciples and other followers of Christ, other disciples were gathered in an upper room, and the Holy Spirit fell upon them, and they did receive power from on high. And then Peter preached his famous sermon on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 people were converted and baptized and brought into the church on that day. And the church became an instant mega church, and they had the capacity to deal with this. There were plenty of apostles in the area to provide teaching and leadership. They were able to meet at the temple courts so that thousands could gather together at one time to listen to apostolic authoritative teaching. They were meeting together in homes, and they didn't have to buy property. They just used their homes, and they met there, and they broke bread there, and they prayed together, and they cared for one another. They loved each other, and as this movement continues, they have this situation where they possess all things in common. And so they're not just saying to each other that they love each other, but they're literally providing for one another out of their resources. And so that this church in Jerusalem flourishes and grows dramatically. There's another one-day sermon after a healing where another 2,000 souls are saved, and so how's the church growing during this time? There's not a whole lot of evidence here in Acts 1 through 8. The apostles were preaching publicly, but the individual believers, they were just enjoying being together. I'm sure some of them told their friends and so on. But what's happening at the church in Jerusalem, it's really in the tractional model. People are watching these believers. They're seeing that they really love each other. They're seeing a difference in their life. And the scripture sort of summarizes this period of time for the church in Jerusalem as the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. There were people who saw what was going on, and they wanted to be a part of it. And so this is the birth and early growth of the church in Jerusalem. And it's right according to plan. There's nothing wrong here. Jesus said, "You will be my witnesses where?" Starting in Jerusalem. And he built a big, solid foundation right there in Jerusalem. And so, this transition from the Jerusalem church operating under an attractional model and just growing and growing and growing. Well, it actually required divine intervention for them to shift their model. And so you can see this divine intervention. If you want to go ahead and turn to chapter 8, verse 4, I'll get there in a second, but I'm still trying to summarize the history. As the church grew, you remember there was a little problem, and they had added some deacons, and the deacons really helped to settle things down and solve this problem of food distribution in the church. But these deacons weren't just waiting on tables. They were godly, spirit-filled men who were powerful preachers and teachers as well. And one of them, one of the seven, was a guy named Stephen, and his ministry to the Jewish converts to the Gentile converts to Judaism was really powerful, and it was attracting a lot of attention. And they began to oppose him really violently, and then they recruited some Jews onto their side. But if you remember the story, Stephen is eventually stoned to death in Jerusalem. He's killed for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then, now look at Acts 8, 4. So now it says, and there arose there on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And then 8:4 says it explicitly, now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. And remember how Jesus said this was going to work out. You're going to be my witnesses where? Where is this going to start? In Jerusalem. But then it's also going to be Judea and Samaria. Eventually this thing was supposed to spread. And it did. But the timing on this spread outside of Jerusalem was linked to the persecution of the church, beginning with the capital murder of Stephen. Now, it was then only after this persecution that the church really began to spread in obedience to Christ's command in Matthew 28 and Acts 1:8. The plan of Christ was that this church would start in Jerusalem and spread to Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world. So it happened exactly like he said. It started spreading through Judea because all of these refugee Christians from Jerusalem were chased out. But as they ran, they were sharing the word. And then specifically, Luke zeroes in on another individual named Philip, who went and preached the word to Samaria. Samaria was a sort of a cross-cultural kind of ministry because Jews hated Samaritans, and I won't try to explain all that. But Philip went there, and he began to preach the word, and the word of God began to spread in Samaria. Meanwhile, while Philip is doing this, shortly after Philip does this cross-cultural ministry to the Samaritans, God calls Peter to the home of a Gentile in Caesarea, Philip in Caesarea, and Peter goes to Caesarea and preaches the gospel to Gentiles, and the Gentiles come to faith, and in both cases are filled with the Spirit and all of this. In other words, they become legit members of the Church of Jesus Christ. And so it's through this persecution that the church actually begins to do this, begin to spread from Jerusalem to Judea, Samaria, and then Cornelius, in a way, represents the uttermost parts of the earth, but there's still lots of work to do. So, look at Acts 11:19. And I find this interesting, because of the way Luke explicitly connects it to persecution. Look what he says. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to none except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch also spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus, and the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number who believed turned to the Lord. So the Hellenists is another word for Greeks, another word for Gentiles. And so it was due to this persecution of Stephen that the gospel ended up being preached all the way to Antioch. At Antioch, Jews were being converted throughout the region. But here is the first example that we see in the scripture of Gentiles being converted. And so we get this church planted from Jerusalem through the persecution. Now we have a church planted in Antioch. And one of the brothers who helped plant and lead the church was none other than Barnabas. And I didn't mention him by name in my summary of Acts 1 through 8, but he was a member of the church at Jerusalem who sold his property and laid it at the apostles' feet. And he became an important leader at the church in in Antioch, ministering to Gentiles. Now, again, I'm summarizing a lot. It was during this season that Paul got converted on his way to Damascus. And years later, Barnabas would leave the church at Antioch and go in search of what he was called Saul at this time, but Paul. And he would bring him back to Antioch to serve as a pastor of that congregation. So look with me in Acts 13 here. Acts 13, I'm going to just read 1 through 4. Now there were at the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. So we have this church in Jerusalem, and they, in a roundabout way, plant this church up at Antioch. And then we have this really thriving congregation at Antioch that I would have loved to have been a part of that church. These great pastors, these great teachers, all this talent was really congregated together in one place in Antioch, making a powerful impact on that whole area. And then while they're worshiping the Lord and fasting, God commands them, hey, this is great, but now it's time to engage in a church planting ministry. And he sets apart specifically two of their most important leaders to send out to do this work. And so over the next 11 years, Paul and Barnabas and then Paul and Silas would plant at least 9 churches. All of this out of the church at Antioch, which was planted out of the church at Jerusalem. We have many of our New Testament books because these churches were planted and Paul had to write them letters to help them sort things out. Okay, there's, but now then, just one other piece here. Excuse me. I've been super sick, but I'm glad I'm good enough to be here. So one of the churches that Paul planted was Ephesus, famous church. And then, but we have another little book in our Bible called Colossians. How many of you have enjoyed reading that book? Love Colossians. Such a great book. Guess what? It's a church that Paul didn't plant. He wasn't really involved in it, other than while he was at Ephesus, he led a man named Erastus, I think, to faith in Jesus Christ. And while Paul stayed at Ephesus and did his thing ministering to this congregation, the church at Ephesus sent out Erastus and probably others to Colossae, and there they planted a church. And because the church at Ephesus was obedient to plant this church in Colossae, we have this beautiful letter. Okay, so what is the point? God wants his church to grow, and it will, but we have to understand that church growth is simultaneously composed of getting bigger and spreading. The getting bigger part is fun. The spreading part is agonizing. Churches should grow, and churches should multiply. This is the only example that we have in the scripture. I call it, along with others, the spontaneous multiplication of the church. Man, church growth is great, and it's only part of God's plan. The other part of his plan is multiplication and spreading. In the scriptures throughout history, we do see the growth of the church. But we not only see the growth of these individual churches where God accumulates people and resources and knowledge and abilities, But then we see this spontaneous multiplication. And there's nothing wrong with growing a large church. But I would say there's something wrong with only growing a large church. Because it doesn't fit into the plan that Jesus Christ gave us when he said, "You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth." The church must not only grow, it must multiply. And we do that with the agonizing, heart-rending commitment to plant churches. And so, the scripture makes it clear that healthy churches eventually reproduce healthy churches. Healthy churches multiply. God loved the growth in Jerusalem. But God wanted the church in Jerusalem to multiply. And they were slow to catch on to God's heart to spread churches throughout the world. And so, I really believe God gave them some motivation to spread in the form of persecution. And the church indeed did spread. It spread like wildfire. And in Antioch, they had this amazing, wonderful church. And in the middle of that, God broke in and spoke to them. They didn't need persecution. He just told them, "Set apart Paul and Barnabas to the work that I've called them to do." And that sweet, obedient church in Antioch, through that sweet, obedient church in Antioch, God began to multiply his church throughout the Roman Empire. And so God wants his church to grow. And he wants his church to multiply. And so today, Faith Bible Church comes of age without a persecution, without a fight, in simple obedience to our Lord Jesus Christ. We are committed to multiply. And my prayer is that this will be the first of many churches that God plants for his glory through Faith Bible Church. And in order for help everyone understand how we got here and what we're planning to do, I've asked the elders to all come up. Y'all all come on up now together. And we're going to try to help you understand what God is leading us to do and how you can be a part of it. And we're going to start with Dean. Andy's going to grab you a mic.
Good morning. Can y'all hear that? Yeah, awesome. Okay. One quick housekeeping item before we get into a little bit of church history. You've got some handouts on the church budget and the idea of a potential land purchase. If not, they're at the back of the in the foyer. You can grab one on your way out if you'd like to. Those are for next Sunday. This morning, we're only taking questions with respect to church plant, okay? So I just want to be clear, we've given you guys a lot of information. Budget, land purchase, we're talking about that next Sunday morning at 9:15. So this morning, church plant. How did we get here? January 2008, a group of us kicked off this, what would eventually become Faith Bible Church. And after that first Sunday morning of survival, we decided, hey, this thing looks like it could actually stick. And so we started the planning and the conversation process. And so we started to, if you will, think about what is the DNA of Faith Bible Church going to look like? What are we going to do? And as part of that conversation that went on for several months, one of course, the large things you see is, yeah, we're going to preach Jesus Christ from the Word of God unapologetically every Sunday morning. First one, that's part of the DNA. What's the next part? Well, we're going to give people an opportunity to worship. We're going to give people an opportunity to be discipled. And then we're also going to be very intentional about missions. In other words, spreading the Word of God, taking that gospel out through the world. And one of the ways that we knew that we were going to do that was to plant churches. So January 2008 is when we started. Somewhere around May, June of 2008, the decision was made to plant a church. So what you heard about a month ago was decided 17 years ago. So this isn't new ground. This is something that's been at the heart of our church. It's been part of our discussions as leadership of this church. So I want you to be just super clear. What we're talking about today, what was announced a month ago, was decided 17 years ago. And it is in God's good timing that he's saying now is the time. So anyway, it's been part of our DNA from the very beginning, and we're very excited to see what God's going to do next.
Wow. Is this on? this is not where I thought I would be standing. It's not where I thought we would be standing. This was not on any of our bingo cards for the first part of this year. I'll just give you sort of how I got here to this spot where I feel like the Lord really is leading this and is in this. But in terms of casting vision, which is what Dan asked me to do, I kind of feel like that's been done this morning. Jordan sang it, "Be Thou My Vision." And that's the reality of what we're trying to accomplish is ourselves and a body of people making Jesus the king and focus and driving point of our lives because he's worthy of it. So that's the vision. The rest of it is obedience. It's just going where the Lord points, and that's not at all unlike what we started doing in 2008. And I can assure you that the Lord is the one doing it, because none of us are smart enough to do anything without him. So he has been the author of all of this. And when you see Faith Bible doing really well, you see a bunch of guys in obedience to him. And when you see us tripping over our feet, you see us relying on our wisdom. So that's the what. You know, we're just going to go be obedient to the Lord. And then the outcome, Dan started it. Behold, I will be with you always, even to the ends of the earth and end of the age. And my expectation is that Jesus started this, and he'll be with us through all of it. I'll give you the nuts and bolts that I know. We're going to start August 31st. We're going to start in downtown Bryan I'm not sure what you would call it, Merv. Is it a venue?
Yeah.
It's a venue. And the name of it is
Downtown
202. And we're going to start at 10 a.m. We'll open the doors at 9. We get to clean the church before we have worship service every Sunday morning. So if that's attractive to you, if sweeping floors and cleaning bathrooms for the Lord is attractive, we're going to start that probably about 8 o'clock that morning. And at 9, we'll open the doors and have coffee and love on each other, whoever shows up, whoever the Lord leads there. At 10 o'clock, we'll start a worship service, and it's got kind of the same priorities that Faith Bible Church had when we started. It's we're going to worship the Lord together, and we're going to, as Dan talked about, try to set an example of love that is attractive. So this could not be more simple in terms of the plan. We're just following the Lord's model, his plan. We're being obedient to him, and we're going to trust him with the outcome.
Okay, so I got all the elders up here because they all have thoughts and feelings and stuff they might want to say to you, but none of them are required to speak. So anybody else who has something they want to share with the congregation, you can go ahead and feel free to do that now.
You want me to go first?
Sure. You shouldn't have grabbed the mic.
So I was unable to attend the elder retreat planning meeting. So much like y'all, this became news to me kind of a little bit after the fact. But as Dean said, this is something that's was planned in the early stages. I would equate this a little bit to me. For me, is almost like a grieving process, and I've been doing that a lot lately. But I really actually look at it the same way. After losing my wife, and then losing my friends here as elders. When I say losing, we're not losing, but we're going to be separated, I guess. And but I guess the overall theme in both my experience with losing my wife and this church plant is that God's in control of all this. And he's the one that's planned all this. And one thing I know about God is he's perfect and his plans are perfect. So I'm going to roll with this. Just like I'm rolling with my wife, I'm going to roll with y'all. And, you know, obviously I'll be here to support any way I can. But that's kind of the way I look at it is this is God's plan. This is not their plan or our plan. It's God's plan. And these guys are just being obedient. And I thank God for that.
Wow. How long have I been an elder?
A couple of years.
In dog years? Or?
I don't know how many years it's been, but I think it's important for all of you to know that one of the things that I said when I said yes to the request to be an elder of this church is that if and when this church felt led to plant, I would be one of the elders that would go. And that's 5, 6, 7 years ago. I don't know. So I just patiently and obediently waited for Jesus to put it on the heart of the elder board when it was time for us to do this. And when Jesus led Merv and Josh to that conclusion, then it was time for me to go. And so I go with a sense of loss because I love being here and seeing all of you. The journeys that you're all on, that I know you will overcome. But know that I'm still your brother in Christ and that we will get to spend eternity with one another. And so I ask for your love and I ask for your prayers for us to completely surrender this to Jesus and to be obedient to what he's calling us to do. And with that, as long as we do that, all of us will be blessed in what we're about to partake. Thanks.
I think one of the things that's been hitting on me is that 17 years, I was telling somebody this morning when we moved the 5-wide in, there was all this talk, hey, when we build a permanent building, we can send the church plan off and they can take the 5-wide and they'll already have a church. So, I mean, this has been planning for a long time. But when we'd meet as elders, we'd say, hey, when the Lord calls members of the congregation to start a new church, then that's when we know we'll need to plant. And what the Lord's been telling me for the last few months is, hey, I put you guys as leaders of the church for a reason. You guys need to step out and lead. You shouldn't be waiting for the members to be the ones to take the lead and go plant a new church. So that's what Josh and Henry and I and the rest of the elders supporting all of us to say, hey, go out and do this. The hardest thing in life is to go from 0 to 1. So we're getting 1 started. And as Dan said, hopefully this turns into 7, 8, 10, 15 church plants that come out of Faith Bible Church because we got to 1 and everybody saw that you can do this. This is not a split. This is a plant. This means, hey, what if I have a small group and half the people go to the new place and half the people stay at Faith Bible Church? Awesome. You still get to have that small group. It doesn't mean that you have to change the way that you're doing life together. We're still brothers and sisters in Christ. There have been kids for 15 years that don't go to Faith Bible Church, but they come to Link. Awesome. You can do the same thing in your small groups. If we end up only having 5, 6, 7 youth age kids at the new church, I'm going to tell them to go to Faith Bible Church to Link on Wednesday nights because I want them to be around other people their age that they can worship the Lord together. This is just because somebody goes to the new church or somebody stays at Faith Bible Church doesn't mean that your relationship has to separate. Ronnie and I were talking. We went to lunch last week and he said, hey, I'm thinking about losing you guys, but what God told Ronnie is that just means I need to make more of an effort to get together outside of an hour and a half on a Sunday. And maybe that's going to be for a lot of us what we do is, hey, I don't want to lose that connection, so let's make sure we're getting together outside of the four walls of Faith Bible Church. And even if you're ones that stay here at Faith Bible Church, make sure you're getting together with each other. For the people that go to the new church, that's what we're going to be focusing on. It can't just be about an hour on Sunday or 2 hours on a Sunday. One of the other things I'll say, Henry and Josh and I are not recruiting folks. If you say, well, why haven't you asked me to come to the new place? That's not our job. If God tells you you're supposed to stay at Faith Bible Church, then that's where you're supposed to be. If he tells you you're supposed to go to the new church, then that's where you're supposed to be. Josh didn't put it in his, so I will say there's work to be done at both places. So don't not come to the new church because you don't want to clean up in the morning or put stuff away in the, after the service is done. Because guess what? There's a lot of stuff that needs to be done here at Faith Bible Church as well. So wherever the Lord tells you that you're supposed to be, that's where you need to be. But we don't have to lose our relationship with each other.
Well, it looks like I'll go ahead and say something. I'm the lead chair this year of the elders, and so as a leader, you just got to keep listening to the Lord. And I just want you to know that this plant took all year to get there. We asked you at the beginning of last year to pray for us, and we consistently asked, pray that we hear what the Lord is saying, not what we thought, because we agonized over the whole fact of building a bigger church. They talked about this east bypass is going to come through, and we looked at that opportunity and said, man, there's going to be a lot of growth. And we looked at the idea of building something that would take 1,000 to 1,500, whatever. We didn't want to limit what God wanted us to do. But all through that, as you've heard from the very get-go, was plant a church. And when we talked about it month after month, and we just said, finally, okay, we're going to wait until we hear clearly from what the Lord wants, and we'll be obedient. And I remember Josh would ask, is anybody led here to go? There was silence. So I just want you to know, God, through your prayers, helped us to get to the place where we are. It was agonizing. It wasn't easy work, but it was the Lord's work. I kept listening to each outcome of where we thought we should be and why we should do the different things. But in the end, I said, I haven't heard anything clear other than what I know is that we're supposed to plant a church. And so that was just one part 3 months ago that I said that. And then God put on Josh and them's heart to pray. And that's the outcome. So I just want you to know, this isn't something that came lightly, but it came exactly what the Lord wanted. Because those that are leaving, it's a stretch for me. But at the same time, I know it's in obedience to God, because that's what he wants, not what we want. And I promise you, it's not what we want, but it is what he wants, and in obedience to him, it costs. It's going to cost each of you to do something beyond your capability, is to trust the Lord in this with us. Because that's what it is. It's faith. Faith is being exercised here. So trust that the Lord has brought us to the conclusion that this is where we need to be, and that he has it planned out before time was. I'm talking about before any of us were even considered in the mother's womb. He created us for a good work. And look, when I hit the ground and got saved, I couldn't stop telling people about Jesus. I went to Mexico year after year. I'm the guy that said, hey, we're going on mission, let's go, because I'm ready to go to the ends of the earth, as Dan talked about. And I continued to go to El Salvador because that's where God put me. So he has placed each of you here, and I want you now, this is your turn to pray. What is God saying to you about this church plant? Whether you're to stay here and grow and be ready in 5, 10 years, whenever he decides to plant another church, are you willing to sit still and listen and be obedient as we are today? I just want to pass it on to you. This is a good thing that's going on. God is about to work to spread the gospel through the ends of age to the ends of the earth, and then you are a part of that. And if you're here, or if you go to the church plant or any other place, know that God has placed you here. We didn't. But God put you here for a specific work to carry out the gospel. And we're glad to have you. And we're excited. If you're not a member of this church, you're seeing it exercise in a way that God intended it to happen. And we want you to be a part of either this church or the one somewhere else. But wherever it is, He is the one who places you there. Be obedient to Him in the work He's called you into.
Okay, this will be a little bit of a challenge, but if you have something to say, raise your hand or whatever. I'll call on you. You got to use your big boy outdoor voice or big girl outdoor voice. But we definitely want to hear if you have comments, concerns, questions, and we'll do our best to answer them. So anybody, feel free.
The name of the church.
Oh, Abiding Love Bible Church.
And I do have to confess that the first name on the docket, the first name for consideration was Reger. That one got my vote for the record.
I like it.
How is the location, like where Brazos County decided on the church?
Henry Merv and I,
Yeah.
He asked, how was the location decided on? When the three of us had sort of our initial sort of shocked response that the Lord had called us to do this, and we started talking about it. We started talking about where we might be called to do it, and we felt like the Lord was really leading us to central Brazos County and metropolitan Bryan College Station, if you can call it metropolitan, somewhere in that sort of zone. And then in terms of the specifics of downtown Bryan, that came up through a really sort of long, pretty miraculous series of circumstances that sort of affirmed for us that the Lord had been working on this a long time ago. The Lord had planned this a long time ago, because we didn't recruit it. It just sort of fell into our laps as an opportunity, and it was exactly what we had looked for. So we took it as that was where the Lord wanted us to be.
Thanks, Josh.
And that may not, almost certainly will not be the final destination of it. I'm sure it's going to, I think we were at Still Creek for a year, for a year before we put the five wide in and then this and...
Yeah. Thanks, Josh. The other thing is, just so you know, like for future church plants, I hope that we end up with Faith Bible Church Japan, or you know, and Faith Bible Church Iola. I think this church is going to end up there because of the people God tapped to plant it, and if He taps other people, it'll be in another place because they have a different heart and a different passion, and so. I really pray that the Lord will allow us to have no limitations on where we plant churches. And one quick clarifying point. This is not Faith Bible Church downtown. This is going to be a completely independent church. Our relationship will be fraternal. We love each other. But I am not going to become the CEO of this growing church. And neither are these elders. So this will be a fully independent, autonomous church that we just love. Yes. Oh, wait. Go ahead.
I think you may have partially answered it. The question is there going to be an assigned pastor at this point, or is that something?
Yeah, I'm going to answer every question that I can answer because they're quick. Is there going to be an assigned pastor? And see, this is... We kind of have to get it through our heads. Elders are pastors. Pastors are elders. This church is going to start with three pastors, Henry, Josh, and Merv. Now, are they full-time paid pastors? No, but they're pastors. And then in terms of calling a full-time vocational pastor, that'll be up to them at the appropriate time. Yes, Ted.
Are we
going to
have events together?
Yeah, we are we going to have events together? I'm sure, like, for example, they want to continue to be involved in FaithWorks already and don't probably have the bandwidth to do that on their own, so I can see us having a joint FaithWorks. But the sky's the limit, and it's all relational, not programmatic. We're not going to try to define this relationship. We're just going to enjoy it.
Can you real quick, can y'all say that you may may not all know all the elders that are going. So say your full name and if you're going, or the you three.
Yeah. Yeah. Henry Judah.
Henry Judah, I'm going.
I'm Josh Smith.
I'm Merv. Somebody needs to go into pre-K and be a dude. I'm out.
Okay, that what was the next question? There was a bunch. Yeah, real quick. Yes, ma'am.
Unrelated.
They're unrrelated. Yeah. We'll talk about the we'll talk about the property and the budget at the next deal. Yeah, unrelated. Yeah. Yeah, she's asking, is this related to the land that we're putting out to buy? And it's not. We're not like buying the land for that church plant or anything like that. And there's a whole lot of questions about the land. We'll talk about that next Sunday. Yes, ma'am. What is the capacity for the new venue?
The 225 is what they told us, and they've got 95 chairs. So.
yes, sir, Jordan.
Yeah, it's the same elders. My expectation is that on all the things that we believe at Faith Bible Church, you're going to see all the core doctrines. You're going to see those same things. The you know us. The heart of the elders is that the Bible is the Word of God, and so like the elders have done for 17 years, we will continue to wrestle with questions that come up and things that are challenging to us, but. We believe in the supremacy of Jesus. We believe in the Word of God. We believe in the Trinity. All of the core doctrines. Yeah, it's the same stuff.
We're only going to take about 4 more minutes.
How did God demonstrate His power in choosing this venue and all that? What were the miracles?
He's asking how, because the Lord put some interesting things together on this venue. How did the Lord reveal Himself? Merv's going to answer right quick.
So Luke Knowles had been coming to our Bible study group talking about a kid that who was having hard times, and he was witnessing to him and led him to Christ and ended up baptizing him. And then I see a picture on Facebook, and it happens to be the mom is somebody who I went from middle school all the way through high school with. And Luke happened to reach out to her and said, hey, there's a group that's thinking about doing a church. And she mentioned my name. And so it's just God had a friendship that I've had for 30 plus years with the lady that Luke, unbeknownst, led her son to Christ. And she said, I will do whatever you guys need to help spread Jesus in Bryan College Station. And she's the owner of Old Bryan Marketplace, and next to it is Downtown 202. And she said, hey, we never rent this out on Sundays. You can have it every Sunday as long as you need. So that's how it came. That's how the spot came to be.
And just for fun, 24 hours before we got the call, Barb and I were talking about it, and she said, what about Downtown Bryan? I said, honey, Downtown Bryan would be amazing, but there's no way. We don't have any money.
Yes, Alex. He's asking why we chose that as a start date.
Yeah, so August 31st, one of the things that we were looking at was Henry was ready to start July the 5th. We said we don't have a spot yet.
Because I'm going.
Because he's going. But one of the things we talked about was a lot of you were on vacation still. A ton of our college students haven't come back yet, college students who are members of Faith Bible Church. And the last thing we wanted to do was have college students show up over the next 2 weeks and say, oh, while you were out, these people left and planted a church. So on the 24th, we want to make one more announcement. That's when everybody's back, to give them the respect as well, to say, hey, you college students who may have been gone that are members, we want you to hear about this before you hear about it after we've already started.
That's smart. Okay, this...
We didn't think we were going to do this in 60 days. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, we came out of the elder retreat and we went, yeah, this is what we feel the Lord is doing. And then when the facility came up, it I think all three of us collectively just said, okay. And so this is really a perceived spiritual discernment of obedience, that this is what Jesus wants us to do when he wants us to start it. And so the primary focus of that was a facility, and he answered that question, and he's apparently been working on the answer to that for 30 years. So I just wanted to give you context.
Okay. All right. We only have time for one more. Now, look, none of these guys bite. I want all these questions asked and answered. And but real quick, Kimry, and then we'll... Is there a website and information available?
We have a website. It's a holding page, but the email address is already functioning. So if you click send an email, it'll come to Merv, Josh, and I.
And the website is?
Abidinglovebible.org.
Bible or Bible Church?
Oh, abide. I'm an HR guy, not an IT guy. Abidinglovebible.org. Because at the time I was doing this, every time a name came up, I would click GoDaddy and I would buy the domain. So I've got like 6 domains already that I own.
All right. So
there's also Abiding Love Bible Church Brazos Valley on the book face.
On the book,
book
face.
Of faces.
Okay, so now this was, yes, sir.
Just make sure they know next Sunday we will take more answers.
The next Sunday, 9:15, we have question and answers about budget, about land, and we'll also be willing to take any questions related to the church plant. And then when we come back on the 17th, we won't be taking questions on that day. That'll just be a vote and an annual meeting, and I'm going to have the staff give you short updates about the vision for everything that's going on throughout the church. And so that'll happen. So voting on the 17th, but all the questions next Sunday, 9:15. And just a reminder, just because you've been coming to this church for 7 years doesn't make you a member. If you've never gone through the membership process and joined the church, then you do not vote at our meetings. If you want to become a member real quick, see if you can get it done in time, but that's really not the way it's designed. You join the church, you make commitment, you do all that in advance, and then you vote at these things. So anyway, yes.
If you are unsure if you are a member, you can talk to Kelly or Kristen, because if you've been here forever, and if you're not getting emails, you might not be on our books as a member. So help us out and come check if you're unsure, Kristen or Kelly.
And let me just say one last thing before we pass out elements for Lord's Supper. We have made mistakes. So how do you know if you're a member? Are you saved and are you baptized and having had an interview with an elder and they welcomed you to Faith Bible Church as a member? If you have gone through that process and your name's not on the record, tell us about it. We'll confirm it and we'll make sure you're there. But if you haven't gone through that process, then you're not a member. We love you, but go through the process. All right. Yes, sir. What about it? Okay, thank you very much. Yes, I hope that works. Okay. That's because we are not good at connection cards. But anyway, thank you, Leah, for you're pointing out my lack of skills here. Okay, what we're going to do, we did this on purpose. Look, there's in a way, there's kind of two churches in the room right now. But guess what? In Christ, we are one. And we're about to celebrate that, our oneness in Christ right now through the Lord's Supper. So brothers, if y'all would go ahead and begin to pass out the elements, go ahead and bow your head and begin to pray and prepare your heart to receive the Lord's Supper.